This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 435, and it's side two of April the 4th, 1980. January the 11th, 1980, that's tape number 423. I mentioned a man named Mr. Esposito, who's involved with organized crime, with presidential candidates, with presidents, with the Carlo Gambino family. He has links to an international corporation group in Miami and Los Angeles based. He works with Mr. Richard Hanna, who handled Korean CIA money for Tungsten Park. He was sentenced for 2.5 years for his influence buying in Congress. Mr. Park was giving him money. Mr. Esposito had links to the Moonies and the Korean CIA, the same group that are clinging the government buildings, and he ran a corporation, or runs one, called Broadway Maintenance Corporation. And this, again, was a clinging organization that's tied up to offices in New York City and also out at the racetrack, clinging out the racetracks. But the important thing is that the Esposito crime links to drugs, narcotics, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, the whole ball of wax, the Korean CIA and the maintenance companies, is not far removed from gun running and Philadelphia connections that I may have to chart out for you in the next few weeks if it gets too complicated. But the clinging and security services, in this case it was called Broadway Maintenance, Mrs. Harris worked for Allied Clinging, and the Moonies have their own clinging services, but the Korean CIA, the clinging services, and organized crime have a lot in common. Is a large operation that has not yet been put on the carpet, and again, it's linked to the Moonies and congressmen involved with Korean CIA and those payoffs, and it's also linked to international drug running and assassination teams and hit squads. James LaRosa, the attorney for Mr. Esposito, the head of Broadway Maintenance Corporation, or used to have that, is the attorney for Frank Turple, and I want to do a little more about Frank Turple in a few minutes and the Philadelphia connections to Frank Turple and the gun-running connections and the assassination teams. But as I say, I was very suspicious of this Mrs. Harris with the Allied Maintenance and the school. And as the news stories break, keep an eye open for them, because I think there's much more to the Tannauer story than just a love affair. Now they're trying to give her a defense that she was in love with him for many years, and he loved another woman that worked for him, an assistant nurse, and that he drove her crazy because of the love affair. Actually, she had a secret, separate life and other activities that they didn't know about. She kept him a secret, and they traveled, and where they traveled was a secret, and there's much more that went on at that house, I'm sure, than has been told yet, besides it just being an affair between two women. January the 4th and the 11th, and I'm looking at the sheets here, the 18th, the January the 25th, in the month of January and February, I did tapes on these men that were arrested in New York City at the Hilton Hotel. There hasn't been a word in the news about them recently. They were involved with the Central Intelligence Agency, with electronic firm in New Jersey, with Exxon, with Scotland Yard, Mobil Oil. One is George Gregory Corcola, and the other is Frank Turple. They are involved with international gun running, assassination teams, arms dealers, and they are really a large overview of the network that does political assassinations all over the world and supplies the weapons for the rightist governments and for keeping the real hardcore Nazi, I call them the Nazi, the extreme right-wing, in power all over the world. You have to go back to these tapes of January and read what I have about Corcola and the corporations they worked for, the Liberian corporations and their offices in Virginia and in Washington, D.C., New Jersey, and the assassination teams. February the 1st, I did a tape on Frank Turple and George Corcola, and an article in the New York Times on Samuel Cummings, a CIA man, allegedly left the CIA in 1953, but I made note that McCord and James McCord and E. Howard Hunt at the time of Watergate were supposed to have left the CIA in 1971, and were working for it at the time they were arrested at the Watergate Hotel. This Samuel Cummings, is from the Main Line in Philadelphia, went to George Washington University, and then moved to England and put up a literal fortress in Manchester, England, with $22.5 million worth of guns and $40 million rounds of ammunition for the gun, and supplies the anti-Castro Cubans, the people that worked on the Kennedy assassination, such as Frank Sturgis. Sturgis grew up in Philadelphia also. That's another Philadelphia connection. And I mentioned in February that he moved to Monte Carlo and set up his headquarters, where Aristotle Onassis and Hallmar Schacht, the head of the Nazi bank, and the top Nazis began to rebuild the German and the Japanese fleets after World War II, and has links to Argentine and to Chile and to the Operation Condor assassination teams. This Samuel Cummings is a big power who came right out of the Philadelphia Main Line, the same area where Mrs. Jean Harris was living before she went on to the Soviet Union, and has actually had this very active secret life that people didn't know about while she was the headmistress. The student of history from Smith College, who traveled around with Dr. Tannauer, but people where she worked didn't know about him and didn't know her other life. And I mentioned in February that there is a large article about Samuel Cummings in the New York Times with a photograph of him, the private world of an international arms dealer, and he's the man that supplies the assassination teams and the right-wing governments for all the weapons they need to stay in power. He was born in Mainline, Philadelphia, and the article in the New York Times gives him a long biography. I won't repeat it on this tape. You can get that tape of February the 1st if you don't have it. What I'm trying to do for you on these tapes is to put together the bits and pieces of political assassinations, not only the John Kennedy assassination, but the many, many murders that take place throughout the world. And many of the actors that are not described in the history books that should be in the textbooks, the behind-the-scenes people are surfacing in ways and connecting that put a lot of the unknown little pieces of the puzzle together. I have a book. It was published in 1934. It's a book I bought recently on Zaharoff, the High Priest of War. And this Sir Basil Zaharoff was the man who funded governments and ammunition, both sides, who made a fortune off of war. And he moved to Monte Carlo, and under the nose of Prince Rainier in Monte Carlo, and took over Monte Carlo literally for his gun running and gun dealing. And then the Samuel Cummings went from Philadelphia to Monte Carlo as the American connection to Zaharoff. And Zaharoff worked with the white Russians, the Tsarists, that had left Russia when the Soviets took over, so that they could rearm to make war against the Soviet Union and reclaim their territory. A little blurb on the book about Sir Basil Zaharoff says, "Who is Sir Basil Zaharoff, and what difference does his existence make to American men and women? The answer is startling. Wherever there is a war in Europe, Americans suffer, directly or indirectly, from it, and Zaharoff had played a part in producing the wars of Europe for the last 57 years. This book was written in 1934. The man himself, as a personality, is almost unknown. As a force, he was equally mysterious. Not until recently has his power to stem the tide of pacifism and foment wars in order to create demands for his guns and ammunition been realized. War for profit has been the keynote of Zaharoff's life, and this book reveals the futility of any battle for disarmament as the simple citizen has tried to wage it." And there's a picture of Basil Zaharoff, Knight Grand Cross of the British Empire, Knight Grand Cross of the Bath, recipient of the Grand Cross, the Legion of Honor, the Doctor of Civil Law from Oxford University. Now, I got another book having to do with Zaharoff and also with Mr. Cummings from Philadelphia. The book is called Inside Monte Carlo by Stanley Jackson. This was put out by Stein and Day in 1976. And it tells about Zaharoff moving to Monte Carlo, taking over Monte Carlo, meeting his friends and other ammunition makers. And while people were preoccupied with scenes at a peace conference. He was fomenting the bloody Greco-Turkish War, and it goes into all the weapon. This book, besides the biography of Zaroff, goes into the manipulations of Zaroff with weapons with his base over in Monte Carlo when he moved to Monte Carlo and made that his headquarters. He took over the casino administration and the croupiers and used that as a home base for fomenting further wars for his own profits. Then the book Inside Monte Carlo goes in to another person who moved there, again from the Philadelphia group that this Harris came from, Gene Harris, Sam Cummings, and this is the man written up in the New York Times as the supplier of weapons to the two men who were arrested in New York in December. Samuel Cummings, a Philadelphian, like the princess, and I bring this up because this book is referring to Princess Grace, who came from Philadelphia to Monte Carlo to marry Rainier. It was a very convenient connection that people thought was a storybook romance of a pretty Grace Kelly from Hollywood marrying the handsome bachelor prince of Monaco. She was Grace Kelly from the main line in Philadelphia, the home ground of Sam Cummings, and it says Sam Cummings, a Philadelphian like the princess, was among the first of the new arrivals when Grace Kelly married Prince Rainier, a former U.S. Army sergeant. He served with the CIA in Korea, where he first sensed the long-term potential in captured weapons. One of his early coups was the purchase of 600,000 Lee Enfield rifles from the British government. A fresh-faced and bear-like young man with a bushy crop of hair, his Ivy League clothes and charm concealed a razor-sharp brain. By his early 30s, he was a multimillionaire and founded the International Armaments Corporation, Inter-AMCO, with agents in 70 countries and clients like Batista, Chiang Kai-shek, Sukarno of Indonesia, the Dominican Republic's Trujillo, smaller fry like Sudan's cavalry, whom he equipped with lances. Within a few years, he was indisputably the world's biggest and independent arms dealer. Now, he took off where Zaroff died, and the arms dealing took place at Monte Carlo, home base for Cummings from the CIA was in England, but the international base was in Monte Carlo, taking off from Zaroff, the arms merchant. Within a few years, he was the world's biggest independent arms dealer. He was from the CIA and could offer an attractive range of tanks, heavy or light artillery, and the latest line in just fighters. He's been living in Nice with a luxurious pied-à-terre in London, Washington, and Switzerland, where Dale's brochures decided him to establish his permanent headquarters in Monaco. So this Samuel Cummings, with all of his weapons to supply the rightist regimes to put against the people, the laborers, and the people trying to get a détente or peace, he supplies the weapons, Samuel Cummings. He's described in the book Inside Monte Carlo and also recently in the New York Times, and as I say, his home base was Philadelphia, an interesting place in terms of the people that he works with now and the political assassinations just a few years ago. There's a magazine called Philadelphia, and several years ago there was an article by Mike Mallow, M-A-L-L-O-W-E, called Who Killed Kennedy? The Philadelphia Connection. And of course, at the time, I didn't know this Sam Cummings or anything about him. But this article goes into the anti-Castro-Cuban connection in Philadelphia that was linked to the Kennedy assassination, and then that goes to the Operation Condor down to Chile, where the assassination teams are sent out. The article talks about Vincent Salandria, one of the first researchers to write on the Kennedy assassination, was from Philadelphia. Richard Sprague, who was supposed to investigate the House assassination, the investigation of the Kennedy assassination, but then was later pulled off. He was from Philadelphia, and he worked with Arlene Specter, who was on the Warren Commission, who's the district attorney in Philadelphia, who, as I say, made up the Bullet 399 story. When there was going to be, around Sprague, a huge group of Philadelphia people looking into the assassination of Kennedy, and Mr. Fonzie, Terry Lazen, Father Thomas Gannon, Mr. Al Lewis, all Philadelphia connections, Burke Chardick from Philadelphia. There were over 20 people in Philadelphia connected to the John Kennedy assassination that lived and worked in Philadelphia that were closely related to the killing of John Kennedy or further killings of witnesses later, 20 of them from Philadelphia. The most notable was George and Jean de Bornschild. George came from Philadelphia. Well, he lived in Philadelphia after he came to the United States as a Nazi spy and an agent of the Galen operation. He worked in the OSS and then the CIA. He went to the Catherwood Foundation, which, according to the Philadelphia Magazine, was a front of the Central Intelligence Agency. This magazine describes in 1947, the same month that the CIA was restructured from the old World War II OSS, as the nation's chief spy apparatus, a reputable philanthropic private foundation was incorporated in Philadelphia and headquartered in the dashing young de Bornschild stomping grounds next to Bryn Mawr. The Catherwood Foundation was establishing funds and so forth through religious and charitable organizations as a front for a mainline operation of the Central Intelligence Agency. And the former vice president of Fox Munitions Corporations was the chief incorporator and executive of Catherwood Foundation. Now, I think by collecting articles over the past 16 years and with current stories breaking in the news at this time, the very important pieces are coming together. In this article from the Philadelphia Magazine, it talks about the group that George de Bornschild worked with. He later went down to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and became the CIA control agent of Lee and Marina Oswald up until April 1963, and then he went to Haiti just before John Kennedy was assassinated, so he'd be disassociated from the group. George de Bornschild worked in Mexico as an agent of the CIA with a blank check from Chase Manhattan Bank, from Nelson Rockefeller. He worked for the CIA, the OSS, and the CIA. The article in the magazine on Philadelphia describes Cummins Catherwood, the mainline socialite and former vice president of Fox Munitions Corporation, setting up the Catherwood Foundation, which had to do with spying anti-communist groups of extremely conservative white Russians, that right-wing journalists, and so forth, and they traveled around the world on what they called cultural expeditions throughout Russia and Eastern Europe, accompanied by white Russian emigres, and so forth. They set up an organization, the Paoli Organization, that was linked to the Cuban Aid Relief that had an office in Miami, that linked to the anti-Castro Cubans and to people that were involved in the assassination of John Kennedy. The article goes into the Cuban Aid Relief and a man who lived on the Philadelphia main line named E. Wharton Schober, who was a very close friend of Nicaraguan dictator General Somoza. Now, this Catherwood Foundation in Philadelphia had people like this Mrs. Harris going over to Russia and probably taking messages to the CIA in the Soviet Union prior to Oswald's arrival there as an agent. He was to leave the Marines and go over there. This group worked with Fox Munitions Company, and I will have to review for you or do more tapes on a man named Mitchell Werbel, who supplied guns to Mr. Cummings, Samuel Cummings. He made the silencers for the assassination teams for Frank Turple and George Kirkola. They trained assassination teams, these men that I did tapes on this last January, the month of January, that were arrested in New York. They worked with silencers, with trained assassins, with anti-Castro Cubans, killers all over the world that would be linked to the Kennedy assassination, and Mitchell Werbel supplied their silencers. And Mitchell Werbel worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, the Defense Department, the Drug Enforcement Agencies, and in 1974, he worked for the B.R. Fox Company, the Fox Munitions Corporation. Now, one Fox Munitions Corporation here was from Philadelphia that worked with George de Bornschild, the assassination team, and again, Ruth Payne, that set the job up for Lee Harvey Oswald in the book depository, that Ruth Payne, whose husband worked with military at Bell Helicopter with Nazi agent Walter Dornberger, employed by Mr. Miller, the president of our Federal Reserve, now Secretary of the Treasury. This ball of wax in Philadelphia involved Ruth Payne, Frank Sturgis, George de Bornschild, Fox Munitions Company, the Cuban aid relief, Frank Sturgis, known as Frank Fiorina, who was brought up in Philadelphia and then went down with the anti-Castro Cubans. There was this Fox Munitions Corporation, which was part of the Robert Vesco International Narcotics Traffic Organization, and with Mitchell Werbel. I'll have to set out that can of worms of the Central Intelligence Agency, the Silas and the Silencers, and the assassination teams, the Fox Munitions Corporation, and so forth. But the headquarters for these people, when the Bourne-Chill came over here from Europe, were in Philadelphia, and then these Philadelphia people spread down to Miami, to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, worked with the anti-Castro Cubans, worked with the extreme right-wing Greek Orthodox Church that were covers for the intelligence community that set up the assassination teams. Now, the important thing is that they were doing this in 1958. They were doing it immediately after World War II when de Bourne-Chill came to this country. This Mrs. Harris was in Europe in 1958. Oswald was there in 59, both in the Soviet Union. Ruth Payne was very interested in the Soviet Union, which was used as an exchange for spies, the so-called cultural exchange at the time. And again, Mr. Cummings, Samuel Cummings, the world's largest arms merchant for the Central Intelligence Agency, moved to Monaco from Philadelphia to set up his teams of assassins and gun running, and took off the base that Zarahoff had for the years before Cummings came in. And again, Grace Kelly marrying the Prince Rainier from Monaco. The headquarters of the White Russian Organization down in Monaco is where Princess Radziwill, the sister-in-law of Jackie Kennedy, her sister, married Prince Radziwill. The White Russian people displaced when the Soviet Union was thrown over wanted to conquer and take over Russia again and be put back. The monarchies have been kicked out, wanted to be put back on the thrones of Europe. And the wars that we faced, the World War III we faced, the Brzezinskis, the Kissingers, the arms merchants that keep telling us we have to fight Russia, are a continuous repetition of selling weapons to these gun merchants that have links to continuous assassinations and military coups and terrorist organizations that are hoping someday, as I say, to wage this war. There's a continuous link of these same names, these same cities, the same people, the same habits of traveling, of dealing, that make connections from the end of World War II until the present day. Their names permeate my files of research through many, many sections in different places, different names, different cities that come together. And that's why I was so interested in that Tannauer murder, because of Mrs. Harris working for a janitorial service, a graduate of Smith, working at Madison Square Garden, going down to McLean, Virginia, described as secretive, described as an actress, making many trips with Tannauer, not knowing where, discussing divergent views, not knowing what. He's having this huge $500,000 home and not saying exactly how he got it or what he did to make all that money outside of the diet book recently, and the mysterious help and the leaving of large amounts of money to them. There is a story there that has yet to be told, but the Philadelphia connections are interesting, and I wonder how many of these people this Mrs. Harris knew at the time that she lived in Philadelphia. As I say, the Philadelphia connection talks about the White Russian community and the Catherwood Foundation that was linked to Zarahoff and the Radziwills down in Monaco, the Cuban Relief Group and the Cuban exiles and anti-Cubans that have been involved with assassination teams that go directly to Chile, to Bormann Mengele's and Nazis hiding in Colonial Dignitat and Chile and traveling all over South and Central America. Ruth Payne from Philadelphia, Marina's hostess, the woman that Leah Marina Oswald stayed with in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Her family and in-laws were worked for AID and for the Pentagon and the CIA. And Frank Sturgis from Philadelphia going down and running the gaming tables for Batista in Cuba at the time that he was the president of Cuba, and Mr. Cummings and these people were supplying the weapons for Batista. And when Castro took over the island of Cuba, then they joined the anti-Castro Cuban group and became part of the assassination teams that got John Kennedy because he called off the Bay of Pigs invasion. That was one of the reasons they got him. Sylvia Odio, an educated woman, came from the Main Line in Philadelphia. She's the woman that Oswald Double visited in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that set up so many controversies. And William Coleman from the Warren Commission, the attorney who represented the Rockefeller interests in Philadelphia. He was later appointed a cabinet appointment by Richard Nixon. He worked for Richard Nixon. He was Secretary of Commerce and came from the Dilworth Law Firm in Philadelphia. Another member of the Warren Commission from Philadelphia. The article that I had a long time ago makes sense now as I reread it and see the Cummings, the Grace Kelly, the international armament, the White Russian, the assassination, the anti-Castro Cuban teams centered there and spreading out all over. And it's interesting in New York City that Frank Turple and George Kerkola were arrested in December, and there hasn't been a thing in the news about them in the last February and March. There hasn't been a single word in the newspaper about these two agents and their assassination teams from the CIA. Incidentally, the B.R. Fox catalog of assassination weapons has all kinds of equipment, and Mitchell Werbel teamed up with them, and B.R. Fox was legally licensed and was doing work for the United States government from the Central Intelligence Agency. In fact, B.R. Fox was part of the United States government, an appendage of the CIA, and one of their agents worked closely at one time with Jimmy Hoffa. The B.R. Fox Company shared an office with Mitchell Werbel in LaSalle Building on Connecticut Avenue. In Washington, D.C., they negotiated bizarre arms deals with Robert Vesco in Costa Rica, and later Frank Turple and Kerkola and Cummings are selling huge arms dealings to Gaddafi in Libya, again with Vesco, and at the time that Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy Carter, is a lobbyist. They're sending weapons down there at this time. Libya has also said that when Sirhan is released from Soledad prison, he's welcome to move down there. I understand there's a large sum of money waiting for him. He's the man that allegedly murdered, took the rap for Thane Caesar when Senator Robert Kennedy was killed the eve of his primary in 1968. And Sirhan is in prison. He'll be released in a few years and will go to the arms of Gaddafi and Libya and collect his money for the time he served in Soledad prison. Is Cummings Catherine Wood from Philadelphia, vice president of Fox Munitions Corporation, the same person that founded the B.R. Fox Company that Mitchell Werbel worked with later? I don't know if it's the same Fox or not, but it's the same CIA, it's the same anti-Castro Cubans and the same White Russian. Mitchell Werbel's family was part of the Czarist organization and was probably brought to this country by the Cummings Catherwood organization in Philadelphia. He's one of the George de Morinchild aristocracy of the Czarist ruling class, who is arming people all over the world to make war against the Soviet Union and reestablish their social base in Russia someday, and supplying weapons to those countries and those people that will kill any leader or any person who stands in their way. I received a letter from one of my most wonderful researchers and subscriber to the tapes who lives in Minneapolis, and she said, "I knew I'd seen the name Frank Turple somewhere after we did those tapes on him and in the news." And she found her article, her file was called Nazis in Africa File, and she sent me copies of articles written, this was from the Washington Post, going back in 1979, and she found the name Frank Turple. It has to do with activity in Uganda and an American named Frank Turple with a Paris-based company that supplied explosive surveillance equipment and weapon and taught the art of intelligence sabotage to Amin's death machine. That's an American from the Central Intelligence Agency. I won't have time to do the rest of that on this tape. I'll start with it next week. But Turple had worked with the CIA. Of course, they took a disavowal when the article goes on to say how he trained people in sabotage, espionage, and so forth. But the CIA has sent these killers all over the world to train other nations to keep down their native populations. As Francis Fitzgerald said in the book America Revised, the history books keep out the names of these actors and these people and the conflicts, the kind I've mentioned today, that really make the study of history very interesting. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel. I'll be back with you next week. You take care and behave yourself, okay?